So again, thank you guys for joining us. This is episode 2.
Episode 2.
Woo! Thank you for sticking with us. I know this is only the second episode, but it means a lot to us. I am Sam, also known as Team Murder, and with me today I have my lovely co-host.
Host.
Somebody say ghost.
Joe.
Joe.
Hello, everybody. I am, as they already announced me, as Joe. I am covering anything and everything paranormal. Hashtag paranormal for Team Paranormal.
Oh, yeah. Team Dang. Ghost.
How am I supposed to follow up with that? Fuck you both. And I am Yelly. Hashtag Team Myth. Anything folklore and myth. Come my way. Yeah. Oh, all the monsters. Yeah.
I got all the murder and you got all the myth and he's got all the ghosts.
One soul or two?
I want to give you guys my greatest gratitude for sticking with us. I hope you stick with us for the rest of the other episodes. Stay tuned. Today we are covering paranormal, and I have myself who will be covering a story, and Joseph. Who wants to go first?
I think Joe should.
Why? First off, what are you covering?
That is actually going to be introduced at the end of what I'm reading. The first thing that you notice was the smell, like someone frying rancid meat. The two men sat in their flat in central London awaiting their midnight appointment with the old alcoholic Mr. Crook, who lived downstairs. As they chatted uneasily, ominous sights and smells kept distracting them. Black soot swirled through the room. A pungent yellow grease stained the windowsill, and that smell. At last, after midnight, they descended the stairs. Mr. Crook's shop, crammed with dirty rags, bottles, bones, and other hoarded trash, was unpleasant even in daytime. But tonight, they sensed something positively evil. Outside Crook's bedroom near the back of the shop, a cat leaped out and snarled. When they entered Crook's room, the odor choked them. Grease stained the walls and ceiling as if it were painted on. Crook's coat and cap lay on a chair. A bottle of gin sat on the table, but the only sign of life was the cat still hissing. The men swung their lantern around, looking for Crook, who was nowhere to be seen. They saw the pile of ash on the floor, and they stared for a moment before turning and running. They burst into the street, shouting for help, but it was too late. Old Mr. Crook was gone, a victim of spontaneous combustion. And that's pretty much what I'm going to be covering today, which is spontaneous human combustion. What spontaneous human combustion is pretty much the term used for the concept of the combustion of a living human without a cause or ignition source. For any object to spontaneously combust, three things are needed, and this is for anything. A specific body must be heated to its ignition temperature. 2, if buildup heat cannot escape. And 3, exposure to a steady flow of oxygen that isn't fast enough to cool. Currently, there are over 200 alleged cases of spontaneous human combustion, dating as early as the late 1400s. The first written documentation of SHC was in 1641. By a Danish anatomist and mathematician named Thomas Bartholin. It's okay. I had to reread that a couple of times before I was like, oh, it's pronounced this way. Anyway, he wrote about an Italian gentleman by the name of Polonius Vorstis, who died of...
I like that name. Vorstis. Say it slow, Joe. Say it slow.
Vorstis. He apparently died of spontaneous human combustion in front of his parents, actually.
Oh shit! How old was he?
He was actually I couldn't actually find his age. All I know is that he was out drinking with a couple of people, and during the course of the evening, he pretty much just spontaneously combusted. Which brings me to one of the causes, or what they believed as one of the causes, starting as early as the late 1400s, all the way up until the late 1800s, they thought alcohol was actually part of the reason why people were combusting.
Like a high alcohol volume?
Yeah, simply because alcohol, the spirits.
If you drink too much, you will
They think that it may have been one of the earlier sources of spontaneous human combustion, simply because of the how flammable back then alcohol was.
That is true.
It was scare tactics.
I guess in a way, it's kind of like...
Don't drink and drive, people, is what he's saying. You'll blow up. You'll blow the frick up.
Don't drink or drive or you'll spontaneously combust.
Holy shit, they just need to start using that as a PSA for people. Don't drink and drive. Do you want this shit to happen to you?
You'll spontaneously combust. Right. More a little bit on the causes later. So that bit, Bleak House by Charles Dickens, that was actually their writing that caused a lot of panic. It was actually possible for people to actually spontaneously combust. The reason why a lot of people thought that his work or Bleak House was actual truth or fact was because Charles Dickens did a lot of research whenever he did his writing, so a lot of his writings centered around research that he had done.
Actual human spontaneous combustion?
Well, no, not that, but like his other books and everything like that. He did studies and did research on some of the other things that he did.
So he was a very thorough guy.
He was thorough in his research and
so he was credible.
So he was credible as far as the sources in his other books. But when he wrote this, people took that in consideration and automatically took it as fact.
So people actually thought that they were, at any second, they can just poof into flames.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
These are the facts, people. These are the facts.
Right? Believe in this guy because he's smart.
He's smart. He's got the facts.
Books were mostly fiction, but he based a lot of the stuff. It was kind of like Jaws.
Oh, where based loosely off of stuff.
Yeah, so basically a lot of the stuff in Jaws was based off of fact. He did some research on sharks and how they hunt and everything like that.
But of course it was exaggerated, but there was some truth to it. Kind of like
how the shark kind of...
We're going to get in trouble. No, we can't do that.
We can only do it for 2 seconds. If we do it anymore, copyright.
Stephen Bieber is knocking on our podcast.
I know, right? Your podcast.
Do you think he like has nightmares about sharks, so that's why he's just like, I'm going to make a movie about this?
Who doesn't have nightmares about sharks?
People that don't go to the water.
Dude, I got so paranoid. Joe took me on a boat.
Oh,
once.
Yeah, that's right. You're right? Scared of water boats.
Oh, let me tell you.
You're talking about when Monterey?
We went to Monterey. We went it was me, Monterey. You, and...
Side note. Wait, right? Side story.
Right, side story. Right. All right. So there was a time. It was me, Joe, and Claudia. We all went to Monterey to go and get some clown chowder. But then there was this guy who had his, like, personal boat there that was like, hey, why don't you guys come for a ride? And he knew that I am petrified of open fucking water. And Claudia, too, knew. And he's like, here, have some wine. Calm the fuck down. So he gave us wine.
So they trapped you with wine.
he knew I was panicking. And what made it worse was this guy, like, on the boat. It was not powered by, like, engine or anything. It was a sailboat.
And
so
it
he
did
would,
have an engine.
It did, but he wasn't using it.
No.
He was using the sail. So he was going by, and the boat would literally go like 50 degrees. And if you weren't hanging on, you fell into the water. And Joe was just like hella laying back, legs all spread, enjoying, like holding his fucking wine all fancy. Just and just like, and I'm just there like.
It was a plastic cup. There's no way you can hold a plastic cup.
You made it look fancy, and you were just like, I was born to
do
this.
You know what I totally imagine? Is Joe as freaking Maui surfing the boat? Like, when it's, like, tipping on the edge,
yes,
like, surfing?
The fucker did that. He made the boat, like, half of the boat was up in the air, and I was on the half that was up in the air.
And you're Moana when she's starting to learn how to sail.
Those boats were built to do that. The ones in Moana, those boats were built to do
that. Oh, I know, man. And this guy was just like, yeah, we're just gonna go out just a little bit further. I could not see, like, you could barely fucking see where we came from the docks. You could not... Like, if I fell and I swam, I was more likely going to drown or get eaten.
We're roughly about a mile from shore.
I mean, I'm a swimmer. I could doggy paddle pretty fucking awesome.
But what if there was a shark?
That's what I was like. Actually, I'm more afraid of, like, giant squids coming out of nowhere and just be like,
because I'm scared of, like, jellyfish is just like,
I don't know, maybe because I ate too many squids.
This
I'm afraid they're going to come and get
me. Revenge?
Right, revenge for eating my people. Okay. Tangent over. Tangent Thank over. You. I just had to let that out, Joseph.
Tangent okay. of,
well,
of theories, combustion, and don't drink and drive.
Okay, so among Charles Dickens, there are other authors who had written about spontaneous human combustion in their literature, including Mark Twain, Herman Melville and Washington Irving. However, it was Dickens's Bleak House that caused readers to worry. People to really take a look at it and was like, hey, maybe this is possible or something like that.
More convincing?
Yeah, pretty much. Hmm. When investigators look into cases of SHC or spontaneous human combustion, they try to find sources of ignition, for example, heat sources or some type of open flame. But upon first look, they're unable to find any. Second, in each case, the only remaining body parts are usually arms, hands, legs, or feet, and they're completely intact. Yeah, pretty much. And a lot of people thought it was pretty much the wrath of God also. It's just, depending on how religious you were, it's just like, oh yeah, God is smiting you, so the big man upstairs is gonna strike you down. So that's pretty much what they...
when people don't really have an answer, they look... to have an answer, even if it's,
pretty much.
Unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. Another reason why is in each case, the only remaining body parts are usually the arms, hands, legs, or feet, and they'll usually be intact.
So, like, only the arms and feet?
Yeah, well, like if you look at any of the photos that...
Sam!
They're pretty gruesome. So basically, that's like the tip of the iceberg right there. Because
I don't even know how to spell it.
Just Google search that shit.
Just like an organ popped or something. No,
this is like legitimate.
What has to be something that like burns in the organs or the acids that just like.
Yeah, that's kind of what modern scientists kind of see it as.
Dude, that's wicked!
It's just like, it looks like mannequin legs just like on the floor. And then everything else is just like...
Yeah.
Discretion. Dude, that's... If you have a weak stomach, don't Google these.
Wow. That's amazing.
So other than the arms or legs or feet...
Dude, that one's just the feet in like a chair.
Yeah. It's pretty... Those are actual photos of people who were pretty much burned.
Crazy. You could literally... Like you see people sitting in their freaking chair. I'm on fire.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I could see why people would think, like, you've been smited by a bigger power.
Yeah, pretty much. And even stranger still, if you keep looking at those photos, the only things that you realize that are burnt is pretty much the direct area that they're at. So basically, the chairs they're sitting in or the floor that they're on at the time that it happened is scorched pretty bad. But if you look at everywhere else, everything else seems untouched.
Dude, it's like, even this one, this guy's missing his arms and his head is just gone. But his lower half looks fucking perfect.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that one, like, kind of, how do you, if you're like, at least, I don't know, I'm not a scientist or whatever. Like, I thought it had to do with something like... stomach and organ wise, right? You drinking, but that last one we just saw was literally his arms and his head, and I'm just like, half of his stomach and everything's still there, so I'm just like,
dude,
different,
right?
So that's part of the mystery, is why not the whole body and why leave,
right?
What got scientists bamboozled.
More on that is
there's just one foot.
We're like super distracted.
I'm
by
sorry.
That.
Putting it away. That's crazy.
But it's perfectly fine. Another mystery is to, or back then it was a mystery, but they've kind of sort of figured out why. After somebody spontaneously combusts, the area is pretty much covered in a greasy residue or waxy residue. Sometimes it's left behind after somebody gets burned.
What's the color?
Yellowy, right?
It's usually anywhere between like a clear viscous to a yellow color.
Viscous.
Yeah, so it's like
what
sort
color
of a,
is viscous?
It's kind of.
I need to Google this now. I don't even think I can spell it, guys. I'm gonna try.
Kind of sort of transparent, oily stain that you see on like after your car. I could hear that.
I know. I need more tea for this.
Sam's just peeing in a cup, y'all. Don't like.
I need more tea. Hey.
Yeah. But yeah, an oily, waxy, or greasy residue is usually left behind also. And there's some explanation to that, and I'll get to that a little bit later. The last thing that's kind of weird, and this happened in one or two cases that I researched, but every now and again, they'll find a skull that isn't completely burned. But the that isn't the weird part. The weird part is that sometimes it shrinks to the size of a teacup.
Wait, so it does head shrinking?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's another thing that has people, has especially like scientists and morticians kind of questioning.
I can see also how that would fit in like the paranormal aspect, because there's a group out there, the head shrinkers, mm-hmm. that actually shrink heads.
The headhunters,
yeah. Yeah, the headhunters. And there's actual methods of shrinking human heads.
Yeah, but
that's crazy.
Basically, some of the reasons why some people assume spontaneous combustion kind of happens, some of them we've already discussed as far as like the high alcohol consumption.
Uh-huh.
Going back to the whole methane thing.
So like a buildup of gas in their stomach?
So modern explanation is
that... But then how does that explain the head shrinking?
See, that's
a lot of these things that he's coming up with, it's like, oh, well, it could be alcohol. Well, how does the alcohol make them only have their legs left or like this left? And then it's this one, well, what if it's their indigestion? Well, how does that shrink their head? What if it's
your brain power igniting and it's finally like, I'm fucking done with this planet.
Yeah. Right? I want to use my full 100% of my brain.
Yeah, it is pretty strange. Like, they've still have no clue what it could be.
Now, just hear me out.
Yeah.
Alien.
Oh, God.
Okay, so...
And they just, like...
There is
an alien comes out of nowhere, touches your forehead, and is like, I trust you. Shit, we killed another one, Bob. Let's find another person.
There was actually one case where they assumed, or the possibility of aliens... cause spontaneous human combustion.
See, there is one case that I did see. I'm not too far off. That one person.
Please tell me you have information on this.
I do, but I'm not too sure if we're gonna have enough time.
Oh, we have plenty of time.
I don't remember the scientist's name though.
That's fine. Just give us details.
So basically, I'll come back to that in a little bit. So because I've got a whole list of people like the most.
Got other stories. Listen to Joe's story.
So basically, going back to what's causing it, going back to the methane, that's more of a modern explanation as to what it is. It involves a high buildup of methane in the intestine, which then mixes with enzymes from the stomach, or even just plain old oxygen mixing with the methane in the intestine.
Oh yeah, you were having a conversation with this with my brother.
Yeah,
so, earlier today, because he's a chemist, and he was just like, "Oh, I know what can cause human combustion," and he just started labeling all this shit out, and I'm just like,
"Yeah, pretty much." But
we know English.
The scientific term for that is called exothermic reaction. So basically, exothermic reaction.
Isn't that
so,
outside reaction?
Exothermic reaction. That's pretty much what happens is when two chemicals or two objects or not objects, two chemicals pretty much combine to create heat, high heat. So basically, what ends up happening is that methane burns in the presence of oxygen. Again, this type of combustion is called exothermic reaction, where it releases energy. So basically, it's releasing energy in the form of either heat or light. So a good example of exothermic reaction is you know those hand warmers that you get.
Yeah.
So basically, when you get it in the package, it's not hot.
Yeah.
When you take it out, it tells you to crack it.
Yeah.
What that is, it's releasing the two chemicals. So when the two chemicals combined, they react to have an exothermic reaction causing
heat. So humans have that. So when you crack a human, it can.
That's what some scientists were kind of figuring. But the problem with that, the problem with that is why aren't other animals spontaneously combusting either? Like cows.
Is it just humans that do spontaneous combustion, or have they have animal cases?
There have only ever been human Google cases. Google it, Sam. And in all of the research that I did for this topic, it only specified humans. So that, which is why it's called spontaneous human
combustion. Oh.
But yeah, like
you want to hear my theory?
Let's hear it, Ellie.
You know when, like, Sam, like, cracks all her knuckles and neck and stuff? I'm gonna be like, yeah, you blowing the fuck up. That's what I'm going to say now. I'm gonna be like, you cracking, like, the freaking highlight, or not highlighter, you know those, like, glow sticks?
What?
Did you find one with
Okay, so there's no animal spontaneous combustion, but there's manure from animal that combusts.
Yeah, because it's exposed to high heat. The methane in the poop. pretty much whenever it's exposed to
pooping fire.
Extremely.
Is there videos?
Heat.
No. Is that a video? It's not a video, but it's like
I just want to watch poop exploding.
Right. I just want to see like a goat because that was goat manure. I just want to see goat manure just fall down. And just, like, pop up
wow,
and be like...
look at that one. He, like, burnt into the chair.
I'm going to put this away now.
Yeah, that was actually a lady who burnt into the chair.
Oh.
Yeah, so pretty much that is one of the main reasons why they think people may spontaneously combust. And that's a scientific thing.
Because of their poop?
Because of
the chemical thing, yes.
The chemical methane, mixing with other chemicals or whatever. In the
you're going to hear the rapper enzymes. Thing.
Pretty much what some people are trying to ask also is pretty much to what temperature or what degree the human body actually burns at. So I'm actually think I could save that for a little bit later as far as like an argument for skeptics or people who believe in spontaneous human combustion. So going back for some skeptical belief as to how this happens, there are possibilities that there was other possibility is that there was an external fire source such as a cigarette or a candle, which ignites a piece of cloth as the body burns. So pretty much what people say is that what you find out later on is that a lot of these people who do die of spontaneous human combustion or alleged spontaneous human combustion is that they're all elderly people ranging from like 62 or older. So it's like, why aren't any other people...
younger people doing it?
Why aren't any younger people? And what they're also considering is the fact that these people were actual heavy smokers. Some of them were heavy smokers. Some of them were just old. And but the thing is...
Were all of them heavy smokers?
All of them, but a couple of them. They're not heavy smokers, but they did smoke. So what they're assuming
like,
is
out
that
of 10, how many?
Out of 10, all of them, pretty much.
Oh.
So, well, either all of them or...
because basically, the moment, like, 9 out of 10 ratio.
Yeah.
But the moment one of them doesn't smoke, but they still combusted, mm-hmm. kind of defeats that purpose of that study.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's one where one individual wasn't smoking or had a cigarette, but what they assume is that an ember from her dad's pipe had like floated into the air and landed onto her clothing and pretty much.
Oh, so they were around something that could have caused
it.
Okay.
So if it wasn't a cigarette butt or a candle that was near them, then it could have been some other heat source like a heater or something that just created high heat and caught a piece of fabric on fire.
Could you imagine how much that would suck, though, if you're like, I'm cold, I'm going to stand next to the heater.
Yeah.
So I was going to wait for you to say this. A human body disintegrates between 1,000 degrees to 1,500.
I was actually going to bring that up.
Yeah.
And I was actually just about to bring that up.
I know, I didn't want to, like, I was waiting for you to bring it, but I'm like, they can't really say that if an ash falls that someone catches fire. They've proven that if ash falls on someone and they catch fire, that they don't, their full bodies don't burn.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be in a special chamber to get to that degrees to turn into ash.
Which, yeah.
And the pictures that we see, these people are ash. There is nothing left.
Just like marks on the freaking wall.
Yeah.
So basically, when some research that I did, there were coroners or people who do, what is it, the process when you burn something?
Autopsy? Cremation.
Cremation.
Yeah.
People who do cremation, basically, there are three things that require that to happen. Or actually, not three things, that's a...
Tell me why, when I was picturing someone like cremating, like they just put the body in there and it's like popcorn, like
then they start popping like popcorn.
I don't know why my
out and they become like these big old popcorn.
Pretty much. Like,
oh my gosh.
Okay, so I can't.
I wouldn't be able
here,
to do that.
But,
popcorn eyes.
Like work at a morgue thingy that's like, I'm gonna like microwave you now. Here you go.
But,
I can't do it.
Yeah, the one of the people who does the burnings pretty much says that the human body needs to burn anywhere between 2,500 to 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, and they
for
have to
3 to 4 hours.
I was about to say for a certain amount of time.
Dang.
Yeah, it's not just like, oh, I put them in there; they're in there for 5 minutes; they're done. No,
yeah.
It has to be consistent.
It has to be consistent heat.
Yeah.
And there's actually another scientific possibility that kind of debunks that fact, too. But the fact is, One argument is, how is somebody going to be catching on fire and not going to want to react to the point where...
Thank you! Because I'm on fire! I'm just
I think it has to be a brain thing then, because it's like, how would you not just get up and run around and be like, I'm fucking on fire! I mean,
considering
like,
a lot of these people were elderly people.
Maybe they're like, my head,
like the one, like there's one of the pictures that we saw was like, it looked like someone was at first in a chair, fucking happened, and then fell down and like left an imprint on the floor. Mm-hmm. But you could see slight imprint on the chair too. So it was kind of like, so did he feel it fucking happening? And then he's like, oh shit! And then he falls down. Like,
yeah, yeah. that's pretty much one of the arguments against it too. This main scientific fact they actually refer to as the wick effect, which the human body creates a reverse candle type of thing. So basically what ends up happening is as the body burns, body fat melts from the heat. It seeps into the clothing and becomes a wax-like substance, which allows the body to continue to burn, creating a reverse candle effect. There was a forensic scientist named John DeHaan. John DeHaan, I think.
It was. Oh, Han, okay.
DeHaan, it's DeHaan. So DeHaan.
Forgive our English, it's so good.
Yeah. pretty bad. But anyway, the scientists ran an experiment in 1998 to confirm the theory of the wick effect by wrapping a pig's carcass
in a blanket. I was about to say.
Nah, he was making carnitas and that was his excuse.
I'm going to make carnitas.
Oh, pretty much.
Yeah. Right?
Oh,
but,
carnitas sounds so good.
He's like, I need this pig for scientific reasons, aka carnitas. Like, make some tacos.
Yeah,
some right.
Tacos. He wrapped the pig carcass in a blanket.
Pigs in blanket. Get it.
Pig in a blanket, pretty much. He ended up lighting the blanket on fire, and the results of the experiment were similar to the results of the people who died from supposed spontaneous human combustion. I have a raised hand over here.
Actually, it has been proven that animals burn at a different degree than humans, and you can actually burn an animal to ash at a lower degree for a smaller amount of time with consistent fire than you can with human. So that is invalid.
What
were you expecting, Sam, for him to be like, I need a body from the marketplace to do some scientific research?
So, take something from the morgue. People donate their bodies to the morgue and be like, scientific like research. And he was like, okay, I'm going to set it on fire then.
What is it that Snape says? No, minus 10 points.
Oh my God.
For Hermione being an insufferable know-it-all. That's one thing.
Sam got 10 minus points.
Minus 10 points to Team Murder.
I know, right? Team Murder, you're starting off bad right now.
It's all good. No, I have that. I have that actually in my notes too. It is known that some animals
write it down. We have to write this down. Minus 10 points to you.
Yeah.
Someone write this down, keep track, and let us know at the end of every episode how many points are lost and gained for each one.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what some people are arguing also about the wick effect in this test that
he used a
John
pig.
But
a pig.
The thing about using the pig, though, is that it's the most, it's close to the human anatomy.
The anatomy is close. Well, the inside anatomy is closer to it.
Yeah.
He's a primate.
He's a primate. The wick effect also helps support the reason as to why the area is usually covered in a waxy or greasy substance after the thing, because it's pretty much the melted fat from whoever it was that burned. That's all fat. That pretty much just...
So, like, do you think they were just, like, sweating really hard and, like, their clothes were just, like... Because you know when you're like a
sweating
little fluffier
grease.
And a little older, like your little fat rolls.
But
like,
the thing about elderly people
soaking
too,
the soaking the carnitas into my clothes.
The thing about elderly people too is that over time their muscle mass kind of decreases and pretty much gets replaced by fat too. So
that's what I'm saying.
Probably the reason why most of these people are elderly people. Now going,
okay,
going
Sam,
back.
You have some time before you blow up is what he's saying.
But apparently you gotta be chunky and have a lot of fat on you.
Well, no, if you look at some of those pictures, some of those photos.
Those legs are pretty
legs
skinny.
Right?
Skinny.
They have some nice ass legs. Yeah. Like two of the ones that we saw, those were like, I want those legs. I'm sorry for what happened above, but I want those legs.
Last thing that I have on my topic is cases that are pretty much the most known. And this is coming, this first one I'm going to tell you comes back to the whole aliens thing. So
I knew it.
Yeah.
Aliens. 1 point team myth. Yeah. I'm going to draw that little stupid pigeon that's like, aliens. And that's going to be my little mascot.
That would be pretty awesome. Mm. But anyway, in December 2010 in Ireland, there was a 76-year-old male by the name of Michael Faherty, I'm not very good at pronouncing names.
It's okay.
Anyway, he was found in his living room. He was found in his living room by his fireplace.
Found, do you mean just his legs and his arms? Yeah, or okay.
basically his ashes. His ashes were found pretty much next to a fireplace. And that's what a lot of people were saying, was that, oh, it was embers from the fireplace. But when the coroner did the autopsy report, he ruled out the fire from the fireplace having set the fire in the first place. Going back to the whole aliens thing, there was a scientist, I can't remember what his name was, but he was saying that what could have possibly caused the fire to start was a high level of magnetism in the area. Ooh. Or high magnetic field that was in the area during that time.
Uh-huh.
And there was another person who was saying that they saw a UFO pretty much in the general area
where
they're having the high magnetism areas. So they're assuming that the alien or the UFO that was supposedly spotted. Anyway, so continuing some of the more known cases. In 1982, in northern London, there was Jean Lucille or Gianni Saffin, who caught fire in front of her dad, actually. Her dad and...
That's pretty sad.
Another person...
I was thinking something completely horrible, but we'll go with sad.
Her dad...
Well, that's... I think... Okay.
Her dad... What if he was just like, witch? And she like...
Wait, what year? What year?
1982. This was past that.
Yeah, time. Past your little witch phase. Okay.
Hey, they were still doing witches stuff. Okay.
During that time.
Next.
Anyway.
Right, minus 2 points to Team Murder.
Oh God.
I can't really.
Anyways.
I can't remember. Anyway, had caught fire in front of her dad.
I'm still like imagining Sam out of the corner of this situation, be like, "She's a witch."
Thank God.
And she laughs, so minus one more point for Team Murder.
Oh,
but yeah,
man.
Anyway, aside from her burning in front of her dad and there's another gentleman, Donald Carroll.
You're trying not to laugh. I can see it on your face.
She's trying to make me laugh so I don't get minus points because you're at what, minus like 13 right now?
Someone.
Oh, what are the odds? It's the witching number. She's the witch.
Oh, she's laughing. Minus 1 point to team.
I'm back to zero.
I know, right? You're team myth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm fine. Sam seems to be like losing her shit.
I've only slept an hour and a half,
Joe,
in over 24
just when
hours.
You start, you're like, she burned in front of her father. See?
Skip that part.
Her dad and this other guy, Donald Carroll, was...
Carol?
God damn it.
Get in the car.
Anyway, her dad and Donald Carroll.
Give her a minus point, Joe.
Her dad and Donald Carroll had...
Donald? I thought you said...
Donald.
Okay.
Her dad and Donald Carroll put the... her dad and Donald Carroll put the fire out, but Gianni ended up dying at the hospital later that day. So she pretty much caught fire in front of her dad and another person was in the area. Or not so much.
We have like immediate questions.
Right?
It wasn't just in the area. The guy wasn't just in the area. He was the dad's stepson. Anyway, yes, Sam.
So how does he not know? How do they know if she just caught on fire because her clothing caught on fire, or it was spontaneous human combustion?
But that's the thing, is that there was no open flame. But people are saying, oh, he was smoking his pipe during that same time. Maybe an ember from his pipe.
So he just caught on fire then?
She caught on fire, but the skeptics say...
Not a witch.
Yeah. The skeptics,
dad's a witch.
Oh, turn of events there, man.
Pyromancy, anyway.
It's one point for Team Paranormal.
Let's continue. Okay.
Joe say it now.
December 1966 in Pennsylvania, there was a Dr. John Irving Bentley. He was the one that you saw where the floor was pretty much just scorched and there was nothing left but a leg. He was found burned in his bathroom. There was a 2-foot by 4-foot hole where he had burned, leaving behind one leg, and he was 92 when he died.
Oh, shit.
The man who found him...
These nice-ass legs for a 92-year-old.
Yeah, but, like, the strange thing is that they, when they found him, you saw how scorched that area was.
Yes.
It burned a hole, and his ashes fell down into his basement.
He was too hot.
But yeah, anyway...
Is that the one?
I was going to show you the guy one. The one that's
if you want his name, his name was John Irving Bentley. And he was one of the oldest people that I was able to find who had died from it.
Let me see.
And basically, what ended up with him was that one of the strange things about his case was that there were trails of his clothing that went from where he was at to his bathroom. So basically, it seemed as if he started to catch on fire and he started moving his way around.
To try to be in the tub, I guess?
Well, I might have read that wrong. I think what they were saying was that parts of the fabric had burned and like scattered to other parts of the of his
flat. So they don't really know that whether it's spontaneous heat combustion, you just like explode out, or you're just slowly burning to death from the inside out.
There was actually an episode of X-Files where they actually showed somebody who did spontaneously combust. And basically what happened in that episode was the guy had actually burned from the inside out. So basically it started in his chest and stomach area, and it pretty much spread to the point where he was just nothing but ashes.
I don't know, when I think of spontaneous human combustion, I just think of poof.
Like an explosion?
Yeah.
Kind of like in South Park when everybody...
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to remember the reason why they were spontaneously combusting?
No, Joe. We're not going to talk about South Park on the air.
They're holding in their farts. Anyway.
You can also just think maybe they had severe heartburn.
Oh, God. No, yelling. Anyway. 1 point away from Team Myth.
Anyway, the man who found them, he was actually running a test. He was checking. I can't remember what it was he was checking in his house, but he went into his basement and he saw the hole. And he saw all the ash, so he went upstairs to investigate to see what happened. The smell that he described was sickening, sickly Swedish is what he described the smell as. So basically, it was all the smell of the burning.
Swedish as in like a little sweet aroma? Yes. Okay, because yes. I imagine like Swedish.
Sickly Swedish was the smell that the guy had described it as. Sweet-ish.
Not Swedish, but a sweet-like smell.
But yeah, going backtracking a little
bit. Still love Swedish people.
The walker that he used in order to get into the bathroom, the rubber bits on the bottom were actually untouched. So,
which we just talked about this, but we're gonna go over it again. Rubber actually burns at a lower temperature than that of a human body. So this makes me question whether they like bursted.
Because it was only 2 feet away, right?
Yeah, bursted at the seam.
It was really close to
it. Or if he slowly burned. Because if he slowly burned, those rubber soles would be gone.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I don't know.
We're all bamboozled.
Right?
But anyway, after that, there was a countess. I can't remember. I didn't really take notes. I thought I took notes on her. But she took a bath and she went to sleep. Not in the bath. She actually, like... took a bath, got dressed for bed, went to bed, and then
was it a hot bath?
Was it with oils?
Actually,
Epsom salts?
Actually, there was a rumor saying that she took a bath that had some type of alcohol or something.
A Swedish
inside.
Alcohol?
Oh my god!
Yeah, so
Swedish fish. What?
She had some Swedish fish.
Swedish fish sounds good. Anyway, her chambermaid actually woke up and went to her room to see how she was doing in the morning. She ended up finding her
What year was this?
I honestly can't remember what year it was. But
I mean, if she got a chambermaid...
This has to be way back in the day.
This was, I think, if I remember correctly, it was anywhere between the late 1400s to like early 1500s or something like that. Mm. I may be mistaken.
Any of our listeners know the actual date, please leave us a comment below.
Think about it correctly.
Let us know on Facebook, Instagram, whichever. We're on all social media.
But yeah, it may have even been during the early 1800s.
Oh, wow.
1800s.
Yeah. The weird thing about her case was that there were candles in her room, but the wicks weren't touched, but the wax was melted. So basically, the heat was high enough in the room for the wax on the candles to melt, but it didn't ignite the wicks of the candles.
It was the chambermaid. She did it. She's guilty.
Chambermaid in the bedroom with...
After the shower.
With the candlestick.
With the candlestick.
Without the wick.
But anyway, our last one, and this is the one of the ones that's kind of like really
the piece of the resistance.
Yeah, sort of.
This one takes the cake.
So the one where the ladies
cake.
Swedish cake. anyway, the picture of the ladies' legs who are propped up on the chair. This is that lady.
Yeah.
So basically. In July 1951, St. Petersburg, Florida, 67-year-old Mary Reeser was found burned to death in her rocking chair.
In Florida?
In Florida, yeah. This case remains one of the strangest. Not only did they find her left leg intact, but also her liver, which fused to a piece of her vertebra. And this is the one where they found her skull, which had shrunken in size. So basically, when they found her skull, it was about the size of a teacup.
What the f-
Huh?
Yeah, so...
That's appropriate, because you know we're teacups.
Teacup.
I see what you did.
I like
there,
the way
Joe.
He ended that.
One point
for Team Paranormal.
Completely by accident, too. But
just take the point.
I'll take the point, because I'm down so many. Anyway, pretty much what ended up happening with her, and this goes back to the time in which it takes for a body to burn, she lived in an apartment complex, and the landlord, she woke up around
how old
5
was
o'clock. She the landlord, I'm not too sure.
The person who...
I don't give a shit about the landlord.
Right, we're talking about the one who died here.
She was 67 years old. Mary was 67.
So not that old.
So she wasn't too old, yeah. Like it was mentioned
earlier. But she was
earlier.
Older.
Yeah, she was older. She was a little bit older. But there is some fishy stuff going on with it, too, because her son was...
He did it!
You said there was some fishy stuff, some Swedish fish going on.
Anyway, so basically what happened with her son...
Please send a Swedish fish.
Her son had prescribed her medication, and she took said medication, which was pretty much a narcotic. It was to help with pain. So she apparently took two of these pills when she's originally only supposed to take one. So people think that because she was a known smoker that she had fallen asleep with a lit cigarette under the influence of a narcotic. So they're thinking that with her age and with the medication and with a single ember,
it was
from
the crack she needed for her glow stick.
Yeah, pretty much.
Get what, it? The crack she needed.
Oh gosh.
But anyway,
Yelly, you are slowly catching up to me because that is another negative 1 point.
I think I'm clever at connecting these. Okay.
Right. Your puns are bad, and you should feel bad.
Anyway, her landlady, she woke up at 5 a.m., like anywhere between 4 and 5 a.m.
But nothing else, like, caught fire?
Nothing else caught fire. Like,
that's the picture that I showed you.
The thing is that she woke up.
I showed you the picture.
The one in the basement? No, that was the dude, right?
No, I showed you the female one.
So basically, her landlady woke up to the smell of fire. She thought it was the water heater because this is an old apartment complex.
Oh.
She had walked past Mary's room and pretty much gone down to the basement and fixed or did something to the water heater to the point where
But that's crazy because like half of the wall is like singed.
Yeah.
How did none of anything else like the chair?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and this was another case where there were candles in the room, but the wicks weren't burned, and the wax was melted.
So I can see why people think that's fucking scary. Like,
yeah, so,
dude, that's horrifying. Yeah. Like, if I ever came
being
in,
engulfed
like,
to hell,
right?
And There was the water heater. She went back to sleep. This is the landlady. Uh-huh. And she went back to sleep, and this again was at 5 o'clock in the morning. And then around 4 a.m. was when she got a knock on the door. There was a person who had a package for
Miss
Mary.
From Combusted girl, yeah.
Yeah, so he had some concern because nobody was answering the door, and she could still, like, the smell was worse. So she went over to Mary's room, and she tried opening up the door, but the doorknob was hot. So she
ooh,
was...
Ooh, yeah,
was,
that's like, all. Like
yeah,
that.
So, like, she immediately ran out of the house, or out of the apartment.
A backdraft, complex. Possibly.
Yeah, and so she ended up finding a couple of people, painters, I think they were.
Go back to the picture.
And they ran up to her room, and they were able to break it down, but by the time they were able to get
she's
into
so far
the room...
in the corner.
Yeah, yeah, she was... That's all.
Well, that could be a sign of a backdraft.
Okay.
Yeah. That's if you don't know what a backdraft is when a fire is contained in a spot that's not getting oxygen, and you suddenly open something to give it oxygen, it will like literally
like poof.
Yeah, it will poof out the door and it'll kill instantly.
But how was there like no oxygen in it?
Yeah.
No idea. It's a mystery. That's why it's part of the paranormal.
Yeah.
Paranormal.
And actually, I kind of accidentally skipped over this, but another skeptic belief as to why the fire doesn't spread is the simple fact that fire burns upwards and not outwards. So that's pretty much the reason why a lot of skeptics say that. That's the reason why some people actually try to claim that the reason why when somebody dies of spontaneous human combustion, the reason why only their surrounding area is scorched and not the entire place is simply because
it runs out of fuel.
It runs out of fuel and fire burns upwards and not outwards.
Oh.
So that's one of the skeptics pretty much.
There's so many questions. If you guys have any questions, maybe during one of our listener videos, we will try and answer your questions to the best of our abilities.
Or if you have the answer.
Or if you have the answers, please let us know.
Share with us.
Send it to our email, which is teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. Or better yet, leave a message on our Facebook and let us know what you think it could be. Or if you do know the actual answer, let us know. This is genuinely, like, I genuinely want to know.
It's a mystery.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I have on the topic of spontaneous human combustion, or SHC, as it's said. You might want to...
What's
if you're
SHC?
Spontaneous human combustion.
Oh, so sorry.
But the thing is that I actually tried looking up SHC on its own as the lettering. And it took me to some sort of church website or something. So if you guys are
church,
yeah.
Oh my god!
But yeah, if any of you are interested in looking up any information on spontaneous human combustion, it's best to just spell it out because when I typed in SHC to look up spontaneous human combustion, it routed me to
a church
site. So
I wasn't gonna sing it the second time, but I was just like,
don't make me say it. Don't make me
nope.
say it.
I got it. Good.
Anyways, thanks, Joe, for such an educational thing. Good now, my
one
turn.
Point for Joe. Congratulations.
Yay.
Your first one, Joe.
Yay. So, Joe, you know how your last spontaneous combustion took place in Florida?
Yes.
So guess where my place is?
Florida man!
On the completely opposite side of the U.S.?
No, actually, it takes place in Florida.
I thought she was going to say it was going to take place in Sweden.
I thought she was going to be like, no, dipshit, it's in Alaska.
Oh, my God. No. So, my place is actually the Sunland. I say Lynn. I don't know why. The Sunland Mental Hospital in Orlando, Florida. Alrighty. So, again, mine's taking place also in Florida. So, I was like, that's a coinky-dink. So, I'm going to start you off with a quote that everyone reports to hear.
Wow, you guys are so fancy. We
so,
have, like, books and quotes. I'm going to have to step it up with mine. Like,
okay.
So, the Sunland Mental Hospital, it is currently now a playground. So, this quote is, "Scream sounds on a playground built on top of an insane asylum."
Is this a haiku?
Is that, like, a plaque on the playground? They should really make that a plaque, like,
right?
On the playground.
Right. Maybe we can make a GoFundMe and get a plaque
for that wall.
For like
GoFundMe for that wall.
Oh God, Joe, we're not going to talk about that.
Put it
that
on
stuff.
Like, do they have one of those little spinny rides where like you just push, put it in the center, so
right
it's like
the center, right? And the Wii's are actually them screaming in horrifying pain.
Oh, just the
Wii. Oh my God. Okay. So, the Sunland Mental Hospital is no longer standing right now, and it was turned into a child's playground. Visitors report hearing seeing the swings move by themselves, along with hearing children's laughter turns into screams of pure horror.
Ooh. Mm. Wait, yes. So they hear laughter first, and yes. Then it's just like a
like
screech
they,
of
they'll
horror?
They'll see the swings actually start moving. And then they'll hear, like, children laughing and just having the hell of a good time. And then out of nowhere, it goes from, like, laughing, ha, 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 and then they just start screaming. Yeah, screaming bloody murder.
Like, it's giving me, like, chills.
Right? No and this gusta. Is just the beginning.
No gusta.
Just the beginning. No, I always have to do this here.
Blowing up one better.
I feel like I just earned, like, 5 points there for doing that for Team Myth.
No,
like,
I'll give you one just because right, it's scary.
Sam, Team Murder got
so
one point.
So you're, what, negative 12 now?
Something of that sort. Every single time that Yelly gets...
You need to count these.
Right? Every single time Yelly gets chills or she goes, no. I get a point. I need my points, okay? We need our points. Alrighty, so here we go. Da, 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 da,
that's not fair because I a lot.
Alright, so before it was a playground, it was called W.T. Edwards Hospital for People with TB or tuberculosis. And actually, FYI, tuberculosis used to be called consumption.
I remember that
yes.
somewhere. I remember
so back in the days, tuberculosis is an infectious disease of the lungs, and it said fresh air was the only cure at the time. And back in the day, people used to call TB consumption. But if you look up the definition for consumption now, that literally means you eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So back in the day, in 1952, there was no cure for TB. So the only cure that they had was give them a lot of fresh air. Oh. So they had hospitals specifically build in areas that were like very airy so they can have that so they can hopefully get cured from it. So yeah, the hospital was built to get the most airflow on it and was believed to the only cure for TB was fresh air. Hey, I just said that. So
maybe not.
The building was just one long row. Like, it was just this one long thing, and they made it so that the air would blow through it. So that way they got the maximum amount of air, and there was windows everywhere from... It was three stories. Yeah, three stories. There was windows everywhere, always open, because they wanted that fresh air. Gotta get the nature. And let's see. They actually have pictures of it, too. So,
of the actual... Of what it was before?
Yeah, of the hospital. Yeah, because when it was the original hospital, the W.T. Edwards Hospital for Tuberculosis, they kept that and they just changed it into a mental hospital afterwards.
Oh,
so,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so the building was made in 1952, but go figure, the cure for tuberculosis came out in 1960. So the hospital was...
Hit me with the numbers one more time.
So the hospital was made in 1952.
1952.
The cure for TB came out in 1960. So not even 10 years.
Eight years after?
Yeah.
My fingers. Right. I was like, eh, art major.
So not even 10 years after it was made, They basically came up with the cure for TB, and they're like, there's no reason for the hospital anymore. So.
Oh, so that's why they made it a playground.
Actually, yes. They made it a mental hospital first.
Yes. Okay. So, but also during this time, so during the 8 years that it was open, it was reported and found that because there was no cure for TB, they were constantly testing what they thought could be cures. So a lot of the TB patients, if they did not die from TB, they were killed off of experiments.
Oh, like shock therapy and all that stuff.
Well, no, shock therapy wasn't used for TB. There was a lot of like drugs that they were administering to them, hoping, hey, maybe this one will be the cure. And it actually... They were testing numerous ineffective cures were tested, causing many patients to suffer and a large unknown number amount to die. So they don't have an exact number of how many people died there, but they actually had their own morgue and their own cremation center.
So there was never like a solid accurate number.
No. They never got a solid number because a lot of people that were left there to die.
Wow.
So they kind of assumed that they were going to die anyways. Mm. So
After the cure came out in the 1960s, there was no need for a TB hospitals or this TB at all. Yeah, Joe's being a creeper and sniffing this tea.
The tea smells good.
Well, he put it really close to his nose, so I was just like...
Yeah. So in 1961, Florida State took over the facility and reopened it as the Sunland Mental Hospital. And so it became a residential facility. And this was a residential facility for the profoundly mentally and physically disabled adults and children. So it wasn't just adults, it was also kids.
What was the youngest age?
We're talking babies. Oh, like, no. In cribs. Yes.
In a mental hospital, even.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Points for team murder. So
that was pretty much, parents who didn't want their babies, instead of sending them to an orphanage.
Yeah, back in the day, in the 1960s, if your kid was born with any kind of mental or retardation of any kind, it was considered the biggest disgrace ever. And 99.9% of the time, they would try and get rid of the kids, either
basically
by sending them
like
to...
Sparta mode it.
Yeah, they would actually send them to orphanages, which is like living a Spartan life. And or they would desert the child in the middle of nowhere. So, and then this is where I put cute
prom night dumpster baby.
Oh my god.
Negative points there, Joe.
No, you gotta say the exact number because we gotta take tallies of it.
All right.
Negative one.
Negative one to Team Paranormal.
I thought it was funny though. Joe.
Oh god. Cute all, and this is where I literally put cute all things horrible. In 10 years, everything went to shit. Due to
10 years after they changed it to a mental hospital?
Yeah, after 1961, in 10 years, it literally went to shit. Due to understaffing and lack to funds, everything fell apart. By 1970s, an investigation was conducted due to reports of patients being abused, neglected, and some being bitten and eaten by rodents and pests. And, of course, physical beatings. So here are just some of the reports.
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
Oh god, Jeff. So here are just some of the reports. I did not get all of them. I just listed the most popular. So over 400 patients had gastric feeding tubes in them. Hey, we're going back to those feeding tubes.
This is why it converted into consumption.
Oh god.
Because they were, like, feeding tubing them too much.
Feeding
tubing them.
So, yeah. Okay, so, and also this facility. Didn't
what
I write this
it
yet?
With you
so,
sniffing everything right now?
The facility was only supposed to...
That's good.
Was only supposed to hold at max 350 patients.
350. How many did they have?
Over 1,000.
That's 700 extra people.
Yes. So, the actually never had a complete number of how many people were there. They just know that they had a limited amount of space.
Do you think someone, like, of them just, like, escaped and, like,
they
never renew?
Oh, they did. There were people who actually would walk off the premise and then they would come back because they had nowhere else to go.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyways, back to what they were having. So, over 400 patients had gastric feeding tubes, and instead of being fed proper diets, they were actually fed a mixture of cereal that was turned into, like, an oatmeal paste, and they was forced into their feeding tube. And it was given to them 3 times a day. Yeah. And then all surgical areas were unsafe and not contaminated. Actually, the facility was not made for any kind of surgeries whatsoever, but they did
you
a lot.
You mean not sanitary?
Yeah.
Because you said not contaminated.
I'm sorry. It was contaminated and not sanitary.
There you go. Thank you. Just like, wait a minute.
Yes. And actually, like I was saying, the facility was not made for any kind of surgical procedures, but they still did them. Low key. Points for murder.
Nothing.
1 point for murder.
That's all sanitary. Right.
And the CA. So,
dude, I'm like behind in points. Don't, no, I'm not still at zero.
So, because they had a staffing problem, they would never be able to get doctors to stay long term. So they brought in a lot of short term doctors and doctors that are students that were learning to be doctors. So a lot of interns.
They're so like, it was pretty much, well, I don't know what the hell that is, but let's try it anyway. Oh,
so they had a lot of short-term doctors scheduling patients long-term treatments without knowing any history about them. They'll just look at them and just be like, yeah, just start them on this medication. Well, do you know what they have? I think they just need that medication.
Or let's try this
medication. Let's try this experimental.
No.
Yeah. Let's see. Also, because of the shortage of staff and equipment, this led to... what they called, like, literally, their words were profound forms of deformity. Quotes, quotes.
Sorry, Joe's doing the now pour in the right. tea.
Such as this was because a lot of people suffered from upper respiratory infections, UTIs every day, all day. There was actually a lot of patients that were bedridden and bedbound, and there were some that were actually chained and or locked to their bed. And they would, because there were so many patients, it was actually estimated that for every one nurse, I think there was like 400 patients. Yeah. So they had to take care of that many in one run. So a lot of the times, a lot of the patients that were bedbound were not being turned, so they would develop bed sores. And those bed sores would go untreated and then get infected and literally would make their bodies rot.
Do I even want to ask what a bed sore is?
Like, so if you lay in the same position long enough, your body, your skin will start to get, like you're getting a blister. And eventually that's a sore because you're not switching your body around. You're not moving your body around. So you're putting too much pressure on it. And eventually it will literally start decaying. And that's what happened. These people were getting like right here on their backs and it would spread because no one was taking care of it. And
they wouldn't just like nudge themselves over.
They were bedbound. Well,
because they were chained down.
Yes. They were bound by the wrists, the ankles, and their waist. And some of them around the neck. Because they were unruly patients.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If I was a mental patient and bedbound, I'm pretty sure I'd be pretty pissed off about that, too.
Yeah. So a lot of these there was a lot of people who reportedly died or suffered from having to get, like, limbs amputated because of this. So, yeah. So they couldn't move. That happened a lot. There was a lot of nutrition difficulties and a lot of malnourished. People were starving, essentially. Especially, I mean, come on. They were given gruel every day and it had no nutrition value to it, and sometimes not even every day, it would be like one every other day.
It's like, give me a damn vegetable,
right? And there was also rumors of unauthorized lobotomies were performed on patients. You know what those are, right? So they weren't even, that's technically a surgical procedure. Again, the facility was not made for surgery, but they were still doing it. And they would do it to the patients they hated the most.
Unsanitary surgery.
But not only that, but these were unpracticed doctors, too. So they had no idea what the fuck they were doing.
Unpracticed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see. So, this was also one thing that many people reported. Some unruly and deranged patients were thrown into something called a pit. And left there without food and water for days, naked and having to deal with the elements. So supposedly a pit that was dug.
What's on your mind?
Oh, God.
Dill pickles.
Pickles. I want pickles.
We have pickles.
I know. I'm so excited.
Dang. With the excitement. I know.
Your mouth is practically
fucking love pickles.
Salivating.
Frothing.
You know, if you're not going to give us sweetest fish, give me pickles.
No, pickles. Team Murder wants dill pickles.
I want pickles.
Team Myth wants sweetest fish.
Anyways, back to the pit. So they built this pit that was really into the ground to the point that no one could climb out it without a ladder. And they would throw people in there and forget about them for days. And they would have to deal with the element. And this is in Florida. Sometimes Florida, it's scorching hot, humidity sucks, and sometimes it's raining. So these people would have to deal with it. And
wow, tell us what you do like about Florida, Sam. Jeez.
Never been
Disney
there.
Disney World.
There you go. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And the basement had was there for cremations and a morgue for patients that were taken and forgotten. So if they literally thought they had a patient that was about to die, they would just take him to the morgue and let him die there. So
how inhumane.
Yeah, and there was people would say that they would constantly hear moaning and yelling coming from the morgue until eventually it stopped. And we all know what that means. 1 point for Team Murder.
That is not fair!
apparently I have more. So on record...
Oh my. Give it to me.
There's more! Right?
On record... Only 9 patients were reported. So they only ever reported to the government.
Do you think it was
died.
Just like one intern that actually fucking cared?
I know,
he,
right?
It was the like out of the 400 he had to take care of. I lost 9.
I know, right? Like the one guy is the only one who's keeping track.
Oh my God.
So only ever reported was 9 patients were reported to believe had died, but there was hundreds. Joe, stop sniffing things. It is so weird.
I'm not... This is... thing number two that I'm sniffing, which is a cardboard box with
We are going to take chocolate. -3 points for Creeper Paranormal Crew.
Smell.
We ate it. So he's smelling, what is it called?
Chocolate almonds.
Yeah, the Meiji brand chocolate almonds.
They're super yummy.
Yeah, but
which we just, like those too.
But he's just sniffing the outer box. That's the part. Like, there's someone who's eat that one, Joe.
Someone needs to get Team Paranormal some almond covered, chocolate covered almonds.
That one's yours.
It's Sam's. I had two already.
I had two too.
It's yours then.
Let's stop fighting about almonds. I will gladly eat chocolate covered almonds.
Whoever eats it gets -5 points.
I'm gonna hold it for later.
It's gonna melt.
Alrighty, anyways.
It's gonna human combust.
Oh my god, this is gonna cause me to combust in right now. Woo, man. Anyways, so not only did it, like, hundreds of patients died, but the place was also completely full of asbestos. So, like, it actually caused...
Like, out of everything, like, beforehand, you're like, also...
It was asbestos ridden. Yeah, well, that asbestos gave cancer to a lot of people. Not cancer. The C word, cancer.
Oh my god. The big C.
The big C. I want, you know, that big C. And as well as they were doing unauthorized lobotomies.
Cancer's not funny, guys. Minus -5 points to both of you, just laughing.
You were laughing too!
I did not laugh yes, at all.
You
no,
laughed quietly.
I was laughing at you guys being dicks about fucking cancer.
Like, cancer's not
we
funny.
We love all people, and we're sorry you have cancer. If you have cancer, we love you. More power to you.
Asbestos.
Asbestos, see. Anyway.
So, as I said earlier, unauthorized experiments occurred without consent. So, they would take people... So, there was actually one incident I remember in particular. There was a child that was 3 years old who was mentally retarded, was left on the doorstep in the middle of the night. And he, because not only was he had a lot of things wrong with him, he was very unruly. And because he had no one to claim him and no one to take care of him, even though he was underage, the doctors, because he became ownership of Florida, said you could do whatever you want to do with him. So he would frequently be found in rooms naked, and they were always doing experiments on him to see, oh, let's see if this works against people who are mentally retarded, or let's see if this works against people who have seizures or whatever. They were just using him as a test dummy. And it was reported that they did like 12 lobotomies on him. How that happened, I don't even know. You'd think after the first one would be enough, but no, they did an absurd amount of lobotomies on him all the way up to he was 12 when he died.
Do they have a name?
No, there's no name. He was not given a name. He was just known as Patient.
As Florida Boy?
Yeah, we'll call him Florida Boy. We'll give him a name, Florida. But yeah, he died at 12.
At least there's a name of Florida Boy.
Yeah, he died at 12. He's 12 years old after all the experiments, finally. It was just his body finally gave up. His poor little body. So, again, yeah, that was unauthorized experiments without consent. Innocent kids were housed in the same area with violent offenders. Reports of orderlies raping patients and actually causing pregnancies and forcing unauthorized abortions. They were actually performing abortions by themselves. Orderlies. They're not nurses. They're not doctors. They would force patients into having abortions, whether they beat the shit out of them or did whatever they did. Electroshock therapy, mostly used to treat people with seizure disorders, were used and often misused. So you're only supposed to go to a certain amount. They would crank it all the way just to fry the brain to get them to shut up. Reports that for every one staff, there was assigned anywhere between 100 to 200 patients. There you go. And, poor sanitation. Most employees were not trained and regularly abused the patients. Actually, they would randomly pick up people on the side of the road because when you worked here, they gave you a room and board. So there was the facility itself that held the patients. And then not that far away was the area where the doctors and the orderlies lived. And so they were like, yeah, you have room and board and we pay you, I think at the time was like $200 a month. But if you convert that to nowadays, it's more. But they would give you a certain amount of money and a place to live. So, and they would literally pick up homeless people in the end and be like, hey, do you want a job? So these were unqualified people helping people who were probably just as insane as them. So Yeah, most of these most of the children there were left on the steppe, abandoned by their parents due to their disability. Most of these children were also experimented on unwillingly because they didn't have anyone to sign off on consent whether it was okay for them to happen. Abuse and sexual assault was very common, and a lot of them were not followed up on because they couldn't do a report. They wouldn't do a report. And again, there's much more, but we're just going to leave it at that because the list is just pages fucking long.
Basically a shit show is what you're saying.
Yeah, a major shit show. Yeah. So finally, in 1987, the place closed down.
Wow.
So if you really think about it, 1987, that was not that long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like...
a year before I was born.
Pretty much.
It's when I was born!
Yeah. In 1987, they finally closed it down.
I just dated myself.
Yes, you did.
Editing.
But it took them, most of the patients were transferred to other facilities while others were left to fend for themselves. So if they were over a certain age and they were deemed not that bad, they were dropped off on the side of the road. Just, you know.
Be free.
Do what you want to do. Yeah, so for 22 years, from 1961 to 1983, the hospital cared for its patients in a manner that was downright criminal. In 1978, the Association of Retard Citizens stood up for the patients of the hospital, filed a lawsuit alleging neglect, and that's what caused the facility to close. Mm. So finally, someone stood up for them.
Yeah.
Floor aides were called working on the site, stating that it was tough to work there. The state never gave us enough... this is quotes from an actual person who worked there, who's still alive to this day. They put, the state never gave us enough money...
Dude, how crazy would it be if that person's like, it was me!
Oh, jeez.
I actually... Facebook. Soon, I will be covering a patient who's still alive to this day who gives their account of what happened.
Ooh!
Yes.
This gave me chilies.
One point for Team Murder! Let's see. So the state never gave us enough money.
I gave her all her points back almost.
You took them away and you gave them back. Everybody and everything was in the state of neglect. So an orderly that worked there, his name was Dick Norks.
He said Dick.
Yeah, his name is Dick. And he said he could not forget the roaches.
Short for Richard, Joe.
No, his name was really Dick.
I know.
But he
showed Dick some respect.
Apparently,
might as well put... Joe.
You never seen family Breakfast
friendly.
Club?
Family friendly.
That was on Breakfast Club.
Family friendly.
Family friendly. We're trying to keep
it. We just talked about someone who just combusted and was like.
Combusted. Say that again, Sam.
Combusted. Give me the busted. Oh my God. That is minus points for you right there. You're like, PG-13, keep it G. And here you are making movements. And
Ron,
doing things.
Ron Weasley.
Did it all like super quick.
Okay. Anyways, the orderly Dick.
Give me some of that dick.
I imagine. I don't know why, because she's like, the orderly Dick. I imagine some dude just like, order. Order in my court.
Dick, the orderly. Uh-huh. Said, out of everything, he could not forget the roaches. The place was just jammed with roaches. I mean, they would do the pest control, but roaches would get inside the fire alarms and constantly set off the alarms, forcing the doors to close, all the windows to shut. No matter where you stepped, you were always stepping on a roach.
Wow.
Yeah. Roaches were everywhere.
That's like my literal nightmare.
Yeah, I know. You'd be locked in a room and there's literally roaches everywhere. And
just fry my brain. More. Just leave me down in this. Just no.
Wait for it. There's more. All right. So a patient by the name of Colleen Mitchell, who had cerebral palsy, was in there for...
What's cerebral palsy?
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy? Cerebral palsy.
No.
How do you pronounce it? Cerebler?
God, this sucks. I swear, English is the only language I know. And I pronounce it, sure, good. Now that I'm trying to say it, I can't say it. Joe, quick, look it up. What does it mean?
Cerebral palsy.
Have Google read it out for us.
I know, oh, right? Geez.
No, really, I want to know, I need to educate myself.
Okay, cerebral palsy
No, have it read it. There should be a little audio thing.
I don't have... have an audio thing on my phone.
What? How come you don't have an audio? Maybe type in how to pronounce and then cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy.
Go, Sam.
Cerebral palsy. This is so bad.
Cerebral palsy.
It's an injury to the developing brain that causes a neurological disorder that impacts motor functions.
Oh.
So, yeah, it makes it, yeah.
So what we're having right now pronouncing this word. One more time. Have Mr. Google read it again.
Oh, my God. Have Mr. Google read it again. Let's see.
Cerebral palsy. Oh, cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral.
The more you hear it, the more it sounds weird.
Joe, you try it. Maybe it's because of my Beaner accent.
Cerebral palsy.
It's cerebral. Cerebral
palsy.
Cerebral
palsy.
Yeah. Cerebral palsy.
Wow, this,
no, I like it.
Right?
It's learning.
Right? People are going to, like, so, like, message us, this is how you say dumbass. Like, it's not that hard.
Hey, I mean, if they can correct me and stuff, I'm all for it, and, you know?
Also referred to as CP. Let's just call it that for
I
now.
Love that. CP. We're going to do CP. Okay.
One is point it... for Joe.
Yes, we will give you that 1 point for Team Paranormal.
Is a term used to describe a group of chronic conditions affecting body movement and muscle coordination. It is caused by damage of one or more specific areas of the brain, usually occurring during fetal development, before, during, or shortly after birth, or during infancy. Thus, these disorders are not caused by problems in the muscle or nerves. Instead, faulty development or damage to motor areas in the brain disrupt the brain's ability to adequately control movement and posture.
Yep. So, anyways.
Nicely read, Joe.
Thank you.
Another point for Team Paranormal. Okay, so a patient by the name of Colleen Mitchell, who had CP, was there for 20 years. She remembered being forced...
20 years?
Yes. She remembers being forced and retained in a crib-like bed that she... she was there for 20 years, where she was forced and restrained in a crib-like bed that she would occasionally share with rats. She remembers waking up with...
I mean, Cinderella made friends, too, with rats.
Yeah, they but were I'm mice. Pretty sure they didn't help her make a dress for the ball.
No. How do you know that, Jeff?
Oh, God.
Maybe
well, they
head.
Didn't help her take those restraints off. Okay.
They chewed through
See?
Them.
See?
They didn't help her.
Oh,
didn't.
They did
I thought
not.
You said did.
No. They would actually just sit on her chest. Yes. She said she remembers waking up with a large rat sitting on her chest. She shared also the room with over 100 patients when the room could only really hold 30, and they were all forced to live in cribs that were made for babies. But all she can really remember was, besides the moaning and groaning, was rats just sitting and pooing and peeing and everything on her chest. And all she wanted to do was get them off. And she couldn't do that because she was restrained in her crib-like bed. Yep. She's, yeah. For 20 years, might I add.
20 years?
Yes. Yep. All right, and here's an... Okay. The place remained vacant until 1999.
So 13 years after, pretty much.
Yes. It took about a year and a half to get all the patients where they needed to go.
My math is wrong.
Yeah, that was more than that.
It was more than 13, yeah.
I
gotta use my fingers. Hold on. So from 87, that's when it closed, right?
12 years.
Yes. 87 to 1999.
Yeah, 12 years.
Yeah. 12, yeah.
Yeah. So the looming structure stood empty, but not silent for decades. It became a prowling ground for high school students to roam the halls in the darkest hours of the nights. Transients also moved in there. Old patients moved back in so they can be out of the elements, and they were known to roam there in those areas because they didn't have anywhere else to go. So tales of activity came through. So this is now we're getting to the paranormal part. So this is what people have reported of what they've heard. So they've heard gurneys were being moved down the hall.
What's a gurney?
A gurney is like a bed, like the hospital bed.
Oh.
It's the one that kind of like folds moves and stuff folds. Like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Children laughter rang on every floor with 1 point for Team Meta.
I need to stop. I'm going to say, oh, no. Jinkies instead.
Even with no running power, people have seen the building completely lit at night. You can actually drive by it and you see all the lights on.
This was before it was destroyed.
Yeah, before it was destroyed. And there was no running power to it, but there were, every night people would be like, oh, look, the lights are on. Someone left the lights on. And the lights were so bright that you could actually see them from the road. So it was very, very visible. They weren't like dim lights or anything. No, these were bright ass fucking lights. That was reported a lot. Let's see. The running and playful figures of a little boy was seen spotted. They were saying this is the Florida boy. Because he was known to run after people, run after the orderlies, or like want to play with people, but no one would want to play with him. So,
he's like Quasimodo.
Do we want to call him Quasi instead of the Florida boy?
I don't know. It's to you. It's your story.
Oh my God.
But like, I don't know why. I just pictured him as little Quasimodo. Just being like, I want to play.
He just wants to be with everyone else.
Yeah.
Anyways. The running and playful figure of a little boy has been spotted. He's been darting around corners in a hallway on the third floor. The crashing sounds of metal objects or trays being thrown at patients or the floor in silent corridors. Major temperature changes. This is huge because it's Florida. When it's hot, it's hot. But then you can go into a room and they say that it literally goes down by 20 degrees.
It could be like bright and sunny and then like next second it'll like pour rain.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. And then EVPs everywhere.
For those that don't know what EVPs are?
Electronic voice
phenomenon. Yeah. Electronic voice phenomenon.
Yes. A lot of photos with orbs. You can actually Google the place now and you can see those pictures. You can actually see pictures of the cribs and everything that they were in. So Joe, why don't you bring that out to show Yelly?
Yeah. What was the place called again? Sunland?
Sunland. So, yeah, you can see, like, we showed pictures of the spontaneous human combustion. You're going to see the Sunland mental
hospital. I feel
hospital.
Like you guys get more points off of me than anything. Like,
I haven't gotten
not any cool. Not cool beans, man.
Let's see. So, yeah, a lot of photos with orbs. Screaming has been heard on, also, oh, yeah, screams have also been heard on recording. So when a paranormal witness, paranormal people go there, they're like, hey, if you want to communicate with us, say something into my recording now. And they were, you don't hear anything until you push play, and then you hear children screaming. So, yeah, but a lot of the stuff is just the building when it was abandoned. So you'll see, like, the cribs and the abandoned hallways, graffiti, it being thrashed. Actual full apparitions and pictures. So when they would take pictures, they would see people standing behind them that weren't there, ghostly figures. Those seeking to communicate with the children also bring toys. So there's some people who would go to the third floor.
There's people that actually go here and like...
Yeah. Yeah, that try to communicate with the kids specifically. They will actually go to the third floor because that's where a lot of the kids were known to be at, was the third floor. They would bring them toys. They would actually bring them bouncy balls. And sometimes some of them would watch the balls roll from one end to another. Like if someone's like a cat just patting them back and forth, they'd just watch the ball go back and forth. Toys were also like they would scatter the toys, they would walk out of the room and within seconds come back and they're all neatly piled in one spot. Yeah, they had
okay, that's enough, Joel.
I got to the kid ones, I think that's really affecting her.
And then, there was
it's
also
just so sad because they're so innocent.
Yeah,
like
that's why a lot of people would try and communicate with the kids the most. Then there was a lot of moaning in the basement. People still hear that to this day.
Makes my
wrist
hurt, like, just thinking about it.
Yeah, people being restrained and whatnot. So it's pretty bad. People would bring flashlights in, and they would die instantly, even if the batteries
were full. I deserve a point because I looked at these pictures, and it really scares me, and it makes me uncomfortable. I'm just saying, you know.
Okay, we'll give you 5 points.
Yay!
There's the team myth. All right.
I'm so brave.
Because she's so brave. Because this shit freaks her out. She's going to have to watch anime and Disney movies for the rest of the night to be able to sleep.
You guys don't understand.
Robert, you better
like,
take care of her.
My joints and my, like, wrists and, like, everything hurts just looking at those pictures, just trying to, like, I couldn't even imagine or get close to, like, the experiences that some people that went through and are still alive to this day.
Yes,
and
a lot of those patients are still alive to this day. And a lot of them refuse to talk
about
it.
I don't know how, exactly, like, yeah. I don't know how they had that strength to, like, get through it, like...
Kudos to them. Props go to them.
People, not even just kudos. I'm just like, that's... I have no words. I'm literally speechless. Like,
The idea that people do that to them. Like, these are human beings, that regardless if they have disabilities have of any kind.
Exactly.
Like, I used to work with them. You remember back in the day, I used to work with kids with special disabilities. Mm-hmm. And they're normal human beings. Treat them like human beings. And it would piss me off so bad when I would see my coworkers getting mad at them. Or even, like...
Just some people don't have the patience. Being rough
with them. And I'm just like, oh my God.
She's like, don't get me started.
I should be drinking alcohol, not freaking tea for this. Right? Okay. So, yeah.
Moaning... Some spiked sweet tea.
Right? Give me a Long Island iced tea.
we could.
Hey, that's tea.
We could. For the, that'd be a fun idea for the, when we read off the listeners.
Like, I know, so. Right? Yeah, we're going to, right, with all those, which we're going to cover in the end. Stay tuned. But let me finish. So, moaning in the basement, flashlights dying instantly, people being touched or hair being pulled. That is a famous one. Girls, like,
yeah.
they tell people.
There's your point. Yeah.
One point for murder. But, there's actually girls, they would tell girls to wear hats or beanies to try and cover their hair because, again, Quasimodo was known for pulling the orderly's hair. So they think it's Quasimodo trying to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big one. Hair being pulled. Rush of cold air, so out of nowhere you're just standing there, and then whoosh, cold air, as if you just walked into a freezer. Let's see. One person wrote, "I followed a ball onto the second floor. A child laughed and said, 'Follow me,' until I rounded a corner and the ball and all noise stopped. And I and followed by complete and utter silence. Like, he couldn't even hear his own breathing. Like, it just went completely mute.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That sense of, like,
and he said that he felt like he lost everything.
Ooh.
Yeah. He said, everything felt heavy. I felt like the life had been sucked from me. I left right away, and in no way or ever would I ever go back to that place. I felt the most despair in my life there." He said everything was just sucked from him. He said he would try and say something, but he felt and heard nothing. Yeah. And then said there was another account of a group of high schoolers who heard loud screams inside, and they felt strong feelings of anger. Objects were then thrown at them, and they ran out. More so, they were chased out. And this was actually their account, and a security guard confirmed it. There was security guards who actually used to roam that area to try and keep transients out of there, and they saw these kids running for their life. Tons of pictures online of this place with where it's empty. You guys just saw, and I'll actually post them again on our Patreon, and it'll be available for those to see. Let's see. Finally, enough fooling around. Accounts are different here. Let's see. Okay, so this is what ultimately caused the place to be shut down completely. So finally, this is where accounts vary, though. Some say,
was this what made it shut down fully in 1987 or
totally 1999.
Okay.
But counts vary. Some say that it was a teenager. Some say that it was just some random transient. Some say that it was actually someone of importance. But all things have one thing in common.
Mm-hmm.
This said person was playing hide and seek with Quasimodo, and he was led to an elevator shaft where he fell.
Mm.
This person supposedly said they saw something there, like they could walk there. Nothing was there, and they fell. They didn't die, but they got seriously injured and almost died.
That's when they were just like,
you know, enough is enough. This place is, it's bad memory. Florida doesn't want it anymore. They don't want it underneath their name. So they even had police until it was actually completely torn down. Every night they had 4 policemen. Guard there.
Could you imagine the policeman?
I know, like, having to do that. They're like, dude, you're on that. You pissed us off. We're putting you on Sunland duty.
Wow.
Like, in the middle of the fucking night. I wouldn't. Okay, during the day, maybe a little bit more easier. But during the fucking night,
not even during the day. I'll be like, nope, I fucking quit. Nope.
Done. Out. I did not sign up for this. But
it's like a freaking rookie hazing there. Yeah. It's like, hey, rookie. Time to test your mettle.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
I mean, like,
imagine Judy Hopps.
But even
just like going there in the middle of the night, just like haunted as shit. Just like, nope, I'm out.
But yeah, even that. Like, even though they had 4 cops like there every night until it finally was demolished, people would continue to go there. They would do seances. They would bring out their Ouija board. They were just trying to communicate all the fucking time and just starting shit. And so paranormal activity. They actually sent multiple paranormal activity groups there, and they said it was one of the most haunted places that they've done and it's scary, and a lot of them don't ever want to return there, even after it's been demolished. So the place was finally demolished, apartment buildings were built around it, and a playground's in the center of it. And in the center of it, they still see a little boy who is seen playing on the swings.
I mean, at least Quasimodo has a playground now.
Yes, but he still screams. Yes. When things, it says, when things start, it starts with laughter, swings moving, the little toily thing that we were talking about earlier, that swings by itself. Everything starts always with laughter, but ends with screams of pure horror and terror. And crying is heard almost all the time. Da, 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 da. And when people would try to find where the crying and the screaming is coming from, they don't know.
It's the witch from Left 4 Dead. Don't go near her.
Oh my God. So that is the Sun Lin Mental Hospital.
How many points did I give you? Like,
someone please tell us how much that, how many points that was. We're going to tally. We need someone to tally this up. And we need to find out what team
That's
won.
That's crazy, though. 30 years.
Yes.
Almost 40.
Not, and it's not even that long ago. Like, this is right in our backyards. We were
10 years ago.
It was meant for tuberculosis, and that only lasted for 8 years.
And then it went to a mental hospital where it tortured and just completely
batshit
crazy. Well, it was meant to supposed to help people, ended up just completely became a three-story torture chamber.
More which like is a true. Nightmare. It was built to help people, but even when it was built to help people in tuberculosis, they were still experimenting on them.
Weren't there reports of people like jumping off of the third floor because of the amount of windows there were? They just like jump out because of how bad things
were. Might have. I think they might have. I think that's actually another one that I want to cover too, but there were windows everywhere. But even though there was windows everywhere, because the fire alarms kept getting triggered by the roaches,
that's right.
they were automatic windows that would shut.
But with the fire, why would you want the windows to shut if there's a fire?
I don't know. I don't know why people build certain things some ways.
I mean, it's just like my theory where people build, like, sinks at restaurants and the little faucet is, like, you have a big circle of the sink and the faucet's literally at the edge where you have to wash your hands and hit the bowl at the same time.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the point of the rest of the bowl?
Yep.
I don't get it.
Yeah. So, that's my story. Followed by Joe's spontaneous human combustion.
Yay!
It was interesting to say the least.
Paranormal.
This covers our first week of paranormal. I hoped you guys enjoyed it. Please, we would love feedback from you guys. Any feedback is nice.
If they have more to add, if we said something wrong and we're incorrect,
we're sorry if we offended anyone. Yes, and we're also sorry if we offended anyone. Again, we love to hear feedback, positive or negative. We would more like the positive.
I like positive.
Right? Please don't hurt our souls. but yes, if you would like to get in contact with us on social media, we have Twitter, we have Instagram and Facebook at Tea Time Horror Stories. Don't forget to hashtag us, hashtag Tea Time Horrors. And if you want to get in contact with us, or even if you want to share your stories with us, we are now going to be doing a listener's video. And our first listener video is going to be March 1st.
Listener's podcast. She keeps saying video.
I keep saying
minus
video.
Minus 1 point.
Ugh. So yes, we are doing a listener's podcast episode where we will take your stories and we will read out those stories. So please send us those stories and email them to us. Don't DM them to us or anything. Email them. And the email is teatimehorrorstories, all one word, @gmail.com. And that will, our first one's going to be March 1st. And the deadline to please send this in to us would be February 21st. So please get those in as soon as possible. We're super excited to read those stories. We have a lot of ideas coming out. Merch is going to be awesome. Yes. Yes. You can thank lovely Yelly over there and her awesome merch ideas.
Go Team Myth.
Yes. So again, follow us on social media, and leave ratings, please. And we love you guys.
Joe, anything? Goodbye.
I'm going to laugh if somebody takes that. Tea Time Horror Stories, and they type that out, and then plus all one word, Tea Time Horror Stories, all one word, @gmail.com.
Oh my God. Joe.
It's too late.
It is possible. So she means just Tea Time Horror Stories @gmail.com.
Yes. So again, give us feedback. Let us know how everything's going. Follow us on social media. Share us. We love to hear your feedback.
And thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch y'all next time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and don't forget to check out our Patreon. Our Patreon is Tea Time Horrors also, and subscribe and help us out, y'all. We love you guys. Thank you. So is someone going to bring a Swedish fish? That would be awesome.